Would like, with the Lord's help, to read from the third epistle of John for our meditation this evening. Third epistle of John. The elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Each passage of Scripture that's been recorded for us is profitable. It's profitable and is a mirror for our lives. So that we can see who we are, where we are going, and what God desires for us. And as we look into the mirror, we can come with what we think should be, but it's far better to simply look and observe and to see what is really there. And then allow that to do its work. Allow that truth to be the reflection that we take action upon. This third epistle is called the third epistle of John, yet he does not sign it anywhere. He simply writes, "The elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius." The disciples, when they were called by Jesus, were much younger. But now John is an elder, he says. Literally, an old man. An old man in the church. One who had been used by the Lord and moved by God's Holy Spirit to testify of Jesus Christ at the early beginnings of the church. One who had perhaps made many relationships, made many connections within the churches. And he takes this time now at the end of his life as an older man, as an old man, to write to Gaius. And he calls him my well-beloved, whom I love in the truth. And we don't know where Gaius is from. We don't know what interactions John might have had with him. We do see that there were some reports that were given from those who were traveling around the churches of Gaius and his character and reputation. But John truly loves this man. And says as much. And he has a wish and desire for him. As he's writing these first few words, his heart is yearning and has an intention behind why he's putting the pen to the paper. His greatest wish for him at this time, that he would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. There's some trouble. There's some hurt. There's something wrong. And the one who loves Gaius is writing to him at that hour and bears a testimony that his soul is prospering. But this man is a troubled man. Not all things are taking their easy way in life with him. But John, nonetheless, rejoiced greatly. He says, when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Apparently, there was someone that came to John and brought a report of his well-beloved Gaius. That refreshed John, that encouraged him. It's exactly what he had hoped to hear. The brethren came, and as they were coming to the church, they testified of the truth that is in Gaius, even as he was walking in the truth. They were able to see and recognize something about his inner man, that there was truth, there was uprightness within his inner man, but then also that his conversation, that his life and his walk was also done in truth. And John confesses, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This reflects something of John. I have no greater joy. There may be many things that can excite or draw our attention or that we can rejoice over in life. But John says there's nothing that compares to knowing. He says, he calls him my children. Walk in truth. To know that they are well and spiritually minded, that they are allowing the truth to take up its rightful place in the heart, and that that truth in the heart would lead to a life that is sober, that is transparent, one that's walking in the light. And John says he has no greater joy. There's nothing that would get him more excited or passionate or refreshed than to hear of the faith of those who he's interacted with, perhaps, and even Gaius, who he calls his well-beloved. He encourages him again and calls him beloved. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. No matter what he was occupied in, no matter what the occasion or the environment called for, he did it faithfully. He did it as unto the Lord. He did it with the firm belief in his God, who he served and who he was accountable to. And he says of these brethren and strangers that they bore witness of thy charity before the church. It seems that in this environment of the early church, that there was a reporting of what was taking place in other churches, and even of other individuals, and a reporting of their character. It was an environment with not much to hide. It was an environment where not much was concealed. Why else would these brethren and strangers be bearing witness of thy charity before the church? These things are happening, and John is hearing about them, and he's remembering them, and he's writing them down. There was something about the interactions between these brethren that were visiting as they went from town to town, and even strangers. When they met Gaius, there was something of note, of a particular charity and willingness to give, and perhaps to do something special. He may not have been wealthy or well off to do something extravagant or fancy, but something meaningful to the people that he met. It's a beautiful witness. It's a beautiful testimony, so much so that it influenced these people that were busy in their traveling. But when they came back home or when they stopped in John's church, they remembered Gaius. They remembered his hospitality. And then John encourages him, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Seems like hospitality was an important part of the life of the early church. He says, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We read about Apostle Paul, how he went from city to city to check on the churches, to see how they did. He sent others like Timothy and Titus and other servants to do the same. And he made a pattern that he would not take anything of the churches. He would provide for himself. He wouldn't be burdensome. And no doubt, he went for the name of Christ. He went forth not for his own glory or purposes, but because of Jesus Christ. And so these individuals that are sacrificing perhaps their livelihoods, maybe the opportunities that they would have if they settled down in one place, as they travel to take care of the churches, as they take care of reporting and seeing that that as the word is proclaimed, that they would be keeping the same judgments, that they would be hearing the same word, that they would be perfectly joined together. As they're fulfilling that mission, John encourages Gaius, continue being hospitable. Continue being an open place for those who are traveling and doing God's work. They're not asking much. They're not taking from the Gentiles. And if you do this, thou shalt do well. John says, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Scripture speaks of what we can do for the truth. It says that we can do nothing against the truth. Mankind, by and large, is not on the side of truth, not on the side of the Lord. The evil and the brokenness, the hopelessness that exists in this world, it's just another testimony to show that God's word is true. God's promises are true. The things in this world, even though it's against God and the truth, but the fruits, they will end up showing that God is true and he will be justified. But we will be accountable if we walk in the truth or not as man before God. And so John encourages Gaius to be a fellow helper of the truth. One might contribute in some way, maybe the traveling. One is contributing the hospitality. In various ways, contributing to help promote the truth, to promote the light that exposes, and to pull back the curtains that hide and are used to conceal. That's our role. That's what the role that John is telling Gaius to perform. Then he changes the subject and speaks of a letter that perhaps he wrote to the church that was not accepted by a man named Diotrephes. This man is described in very different terms. He's described as someone who loves. You know, John was described as one who has no greater joy than to see his children walk in truth, to see the benefit of faith in someone else's life, to see the fruit of the Spirit being made evident. But Diotrephes, he has the greatest love. He has a thing that gets him the most excited. He has a subject that he's most passionate about and talks about the most. And that is that he would have influence and to be over others, to have preeminence. He loves to have the idea that he can be in charge. And he received not John or those that he sent. And John simply says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. He doesn't give much detail about exactly what he will do. But sometimes the ambiguity in the question brings a little bit of an interest in our minds. Sometimes the unanswered questions lead us to think and ponder, what would you do? What would you do if you were John? And someone was behaving like this. What would you do if you were Diotrephes? Diotrephes is described more as it says, he's prating against us with malicious words. Prating. Speaking nonsense. Speaking nonsense of attacks, of malicious words. You know, it's... I can picture this man. His arms are flailing. He's grasping for preeminence. He's like a hurricane or a tornado. There's destruction in his wake. He's speaking things that are nonsense. But he's not even content with that, to sow discord. But he doesn't even receive the brethren. And forbiddeth them that would. He's harsh in his judgment and in being condescending. And when we start thinking about Diotrephes and his qualities and characteristics, and recognize and see that he's holding a very high standard for somebody else, but not so much for himself. It's a very harsh and weighty criticism. And he says that he forbiddeth them that would. He's not allowing those that would receive the brethren to do so. And he's even casting them out of the church. Why is John talking about this man? To Gaius, who he loves and he wants to encourage and help in his health. The one who, something is wrong, something is troubling him. Why is he talking about this man? I think that this next verse sheds some light. He says, beloved, again, speaking to his beloved Gaius, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Beloved Gaius, it seems that his life and his testimony and his environment are hitting a crossroads. And now he has to decide, which way will he go? John says, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Are Gaius and Diotrephes in the same church? Is Gaius concerned about being thrown out and being tempted to follow Diotrephes? Or was perhaps Diotrephes, maybe did he throw Gaius out and now he's being tempted to retaliate? What is going on? Why is he at this crossroads between good and evil? We don't know. But each of us are at a crossroads each and every day. To choose between good and evil. He makes it so plain and simple. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. There's no man that has seen God at any time. Yet Jesus Christ has manifest and made known what God is, what God is. I picture Isaiah when he sees the vision of God high and lifted up. And he's so impacted. He's so humbled about his condition and the condition of his people. He's so thoroughly impacted. You know that he has seen God. John is saying, the one that does evil, there's something, maybe they saw something, but they missed the full picture of God, for sure. They missed the full picture of God's love, of God's goodness, of his care. And then he brings in Demetrius. He says to Gaius that Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record. Does Gaius know Demetrius? For some reason, John feels that he has to give a testimony about Demetrius. And even confirm it, and ye know that our record is true. It would be beautiful to consider that John is encouraging Gaius to have an understanding and a connection with Demetrius, perhaps. He has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. The truth itself, when it is spoken, bears good witness of Demetrius. We often need someone of good report to speak with, to help us, to be a shoulder to lean upon. It's beautiful that John is making the connection for Gaius. There's something that Gaius needs, and the fellowship with Demetrius, perhaps John is encouraging him to uphold. He says, I had many things to write, but will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. That's a much more pleasant meeting between him and Gaius than what I envision may happen between Diotrephes and John. To meet face to face, to have close fellowship, to be bound in love and unity of the Spirit. He says, peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee and greet the friends by name. It would be remarkable to sit at John's side when he was writing this letter and to ask him why. Why did he write it this way? Or to sit by Gaius's side and watch him open the letter as he hears from his well-beloved elder and brother John. Paul writes to the Corinthians that they are an epistle written in his heart, and that they are epistles of Christ. And we can, now after having gone through the passage, reflect, what does it speak to me? What does it say to me? What does it encourage me? How does that reflection in the mirror look? And where is it guiding me to? I hope that we can be encouraged to prioritize so that our greatest joy would be with John, that our children would walk in truth, that we would have a great pleasure and satisfaction in seeing honesty, transparency, faithfulness, simplicity in our children, in our youth, and in ourselves. those of you who are children, I know that oftentimes you want to please. You want to do well. And to walk in the truth is something that with God's help, He makes a way to do. Be encouraged that you don't need to be fake to please one who loves God. You don't need to make a show. You don't need to be the greatest because God didn't make you the greatest of everything. And you're not the worst at everything. But God's made you a certain way. And you can accept that and serve and be spent just as you are. And to walk in the truth means that you take the word of God. You listen to its instructions. And you walk in the steps of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And you walk in the light. You walk in a way that's open and honest, one that's willing to be corrected, one that holds nothing for itself. Diotrephes could reflect upon us when we think about maybe there is somebody that we're harsh towards. Maybe there is someone that we are dismissive of. This passage makes me think of missionaries who give of themselves, who sacrifice. Maybe it's some other kind of person that I could easily overlook. And the word challenges me. What would I tell Diotrephes to do? And to do the same. And Demetrius, to be a helper, to be ready to be connected and to support. He wasn't really brought into that role just at a moment's notice. He had a good report and of the truth itself. It was those small things. It was that life of consistency and faithfulness that made him ready to serve, that the truth would bear record and witness of him. If we would confess Christ, if we would not deny him, if we would be faithful to him, he will also bear witness of us and bear testimony unto his Father. That is the hope of walking in the truth, that eternal joy and gladness with the Lord. May the word and its way to reflect upon our lives and the Holy Spirit speak to us as God would see fitting and add his blessing. Amen.
Truth is in Christianity, truth is everything. And he talks about truth here over and over, how Gaius is standing in the truth, but he's also walking in the truth. David said that the righteousness of God is ever before his eyes, and he is walking in the truth. And we see that Gaius here is being commended for his love of the truth, and we also see a man who embraced truth, walk in the truth, but we see also as he wishes him health, prosperity, physical health, health to a physical man, to this flesh, is what holiness is to the spiritual man. And so he says that he is prospering in his spiritual walk. He's living a life of holiness. And we see here what Diotrephes is walking in. He loved the preeminence. So it's the opposite of truth. Truth is expressed in love. That's the expression of truth. It's done with love. And here we see Diotrephes, his preeminence, meaning he loves the preeminence, meaning he has pride in his heart. He's evil altogether. And it says here that we're reminded that if we do evil, it's because we don't know the truth. And we haven't even seen God. We don't know him at all. And so we have to really consider, this is a beautiful short chapter and epistle that we see a man who loves the truth and actually embraces those who love the truth also. What do we do? Do we use prating words? Do we use malicious words? Do we love those who love the truth? Or do we dismiss them as weird, as someone who is left behind in the dark ages and so on? But truth is everlasting. Truth is God. And we have to really, really examine ourselves to see, is truth something that I love, embrace, and is truth that which I walk in, stand in, at all costs? So may God bless us with the wisdom and the knowledge of his truth so that we would embrace and love it and let that be the expression of who we are as those who walk and stand in the truths of God. Amen.